Welcome to Better Relationships, Better Work, where we explore how to make work better through the power of relationships. My name's Jason Lortzen. I'm the author of two books, a leadership trainer, and speaker on a mission to fix how we treat people at work. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn why it's so important to address our frustrations early and openly in relationships to keep them from becoming resentments that pull us apart. We'll also unpack the importance of being honest with one another and look at what that actually sounds like at work. We even talk a bit about how to form deeper male friendships. Now, I discuss all this and more with this week's guest, Bob Norman. Bob is the Director of Human Resources for EUA, an architecture and engineering firm headquartered in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Bob began his career as an architect, but then found his way into HR because of his passion to help others succeed. I'm proud to call him both a client and a friend. And every time I talk to Bob, he restores and builds my faith in humanity. I hope he does the same for you. Please enjoy my conversation with Bob Norman. Bob, thank you for joining me for this.
Of course. Glad to.
So, as I warned you, we're gonna dive in and get to know you a little bit before we start talking about your relationships with others. Just to give us a little context, maybe into your relationship style or relational style. So, sure. I think I'm gonna start with you with this question: when you think back on your childhood growing up, what is something you learned about relationships as you were growing up that still impacts how you think about or show up in relationships today?
I think one of the biggest things that I've learned over time from my growing up years to now is that it's hard to form a close relationship if everything's at the surface. If everything is sort of small talk, not really digging deep. I had a lot of those relationships, and the ones that where we would get more personal and really trust each other were the ones that became the strongest relationship. So I could be friendly and have a great friendship with people, but the close relationships are the ones where you begin to trust each other and really be honest with each other and things like that. So
does that impact how you approach now, like at this point in your life, does that impact how you approach new relationships, or when you're meeting someone new, or sort of this is someone maybe that you're going to enter into a relationship with longer term? Does it affect how you approach that?
I would say yes. And I think by recognizing that with some relationships that maybe I wish were closer from the past, when I start to create a friendship or a relationship with someone that I know I'm going to work with or that I'm going to be spending time with, I don't wait to start asking more, more personal questions or more in-depth questions to really get to know that person. It's hard to have, you can't have deep personal relationships with everybody that you're with, but you're going to have a better relationship if you at least ask some more questions. And I think I would have tended in the past to be a little bit more at the surface level and talk about, what's the weather like, that kind of stuff in the past. And, yep. And I've definitely learned that I'm going to get more out of it. They're going to get more out of it if we go a little deeper.
I think that's particularly, at least for me, I think that's a particularly important lesson that we learn as men, because I know that this is particularly true with my relationship with other men, is that unless I'm really intentional about diving deeper, our relationship's going to be about sports, yep, or work, right? We're going to talk about one of those two things. And not that you can't go deep on work or whatever, but it stays pretty surface unless you're really intentional about it. At least I find women, I think, are better at getting deeper into some meaningful conversation than men are, particularly in our relationships with each other.
Yeah. And I would say that I Completely agree with you on that. And it's interesting with some of my current friends where we've each realized that, hey, we can have a much better relationship and friendship if we go deeper than that. But both of us are realizing, hey, we haven't had this before. Like we, as men, we don't go there. And it's just something that we've learned as we grew up. And it's nice to have the sort of global recognition of that, like we can have that kind of a relationship too. So
it's starting to change, I think. And I think it's, as more of us step into it, I think you find that we're all craving it. We all need it. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of somebody's got to be willing to step into that void or make that invitation for people to step to you. So,
I know this
to be true from my relationship with you, Bob. So you're living it. You practice what you preach. So let me ask you another question. When you think about your friends, the people that you're closest to, mm-hmm. what's the quality that you'd say you value most in a friend?
I would say honesty, like telling it like it is, telling me how they feel about something, whether it's about something in their own life and that they're sharing more detail than they might have with others. It shows that they trust me. It also shows that they've got real lives going on too. And then in reverse, having them be honest with something that they witness that I'm doing or that, you know, they'd like to see more of or less of than in a conversation they're having with me. And that's, I'd say that that's newer in my relationships and life in general, especially with men. Again,
sure.
Like, you know, people that are willing to go there. So I'd say that.
Yeah, and I think do you think I also find that if they can be honest with you, then that means also, I think by extension, they can be honest with themselves. And I think mm-hmm. that's a really important thing. It's really hard, I think, to form that deeper connection when I think that's part of the reason, personally, not to make this whole thing about masculine friendship or whatever, but I think that's one of the reasons that men don't often go deeper in the relationship is that I think they're hiding from some realities or not confronting or able to be honest with themselves about what's going on. And so how can I share that with you if I'm uncomfortable even looking at it in myself? And so I think it's all progress when we can, I mean, when you see that in someone else, you're like, hey, here's someone that's on the journey mm-hmm. and that we can actually kind of together work through this or talk through this. And that really, at least that's been my experience. It sounds like that's similar to yours.
Yeah. And I can think of one example in particular where I was honest and truthful with something that I had witnessed with a friend, and the initial reaction was kind of defensive and offended. And then we had a really great conversation around that because they were comfortable enough telling me that hey, I didn't really like what I heard there. And then we definitely came to some place in the middle. Like I was seeking to understand more about this particular aspect of this person. And he asked enough questions of me to understand where I was coming from. And I'd say it was one of those moments where it was kind of a not a boundary, but, you know, a line that we happily crossed to understand that we can have those honest conversations.
That's really good stuff. Thank you for sharing that. Let's use that as a jumping off point to get into our relationship exploration here. And so part of the homework I asked you to do before our conversation today was to think about two different relationships from your own life that we could talk about and sort of mine for insights or lessons. And the first one I asked you to think about was a personal relationship that was strong and positive and healthy in your life. So who are we going to talk about today?
That's an easy one. And that's my wife, Julie.
Another lovely human being who I've had the privilege to meet. So I recently, actually,
yeah,
which is kind
yeah.
of awesome. So tell us a little bit about your relationship with Julie.
Well, you probably know we've been married for 35 years now, and I was just talking about that with her last night too, kind of letting her know, hey, I'm going to use your name tomorrow when I talk to Jason. I think the biggest thing that I recognized about that relationship is that relationships take work, and that things will ebb and flow, and there will be great times, there will be challenging times, and to trust each other enough to know that you're going to get through those different phases is, I think, what I appreciate most about my relationship with Julie, is that we can struggle through some of those times and then have a really honest conversation and come back to realizing that we love each other, that we've got a pretty good thing. Julie is one of those people that is always going to be honest, who has a strong sense of self, which is something that she's taught me as well. You know, if you can't believe in yourself, then how are you gonna, you know, help others believe in you? And she sets an amazing example that way, and is not judgmental about it in terms of, hey, I've noticed this about you, and I think you've got some real strengths here, for instance, and you know, you can share that. And so I really appreciate that aspect about Julie. She's honest. She trusts me and I trust her. And we know that the core of our relationship is love and friendship and support of each other. And that has built really strongly over all those years.
So in 35 years, like you have a broad amount of experience to learn and share some insights with us from. So I'm curious, as you think about your relationship, and I mean, you talked generally there about, you know, trust and honesty and you love each other and those things. But when you think about the mechanics, the practices, the behaviors that really make it work and have made it work for 35 years, what are the few things that you think are like most vital or have been most important to the two of you and fostering the relationship that you have?
Just intentional conversations, making the time to talk about what's going on in our day-to-day lives. What is Julie struggling with? What am I struggling with? And those can be happening at the same time, or we can trade on that. But I think really making the time to have those conversations. So for us, it's having a walk, it's taking a walk. We know that if we get out of the house, we're not going to be tempted by house projects, things like that. We can get out and really have that conversation. So I think that's a big practice that has become helpful for us. And then not waiting to share frustrations or difficulties, not holding it in. And I'm certainly guilty of doing that at times. Like, I'll let things build up and then share frustration. And when I realize that, oh yeah, I probably built it up more than I needed to. And if I had just sought to understand a little bit more where Julie was coming from or what happened, I may realize that I was frustrated for no reason at all. So the quicker you bring something up that you're challenged by, the better. So I think that's something that's important in our relationship too.
I love those are two, I think, really important lessons, and also things that are really fairly simple and straightforward things to do, like such practical things, like talk about the things that matter, make sure you're doing that. And then don't sit on your frustrations, right? Have the conversation. Because that is, it is amazing how often, in fact, I just recently, my 14-year-old son has been going through this at school. I mean, this starts early, right? We have this happen all the time where he had two different situations recently where something happened with one of his friends. Something was said or something happened. He's a pretty mature but really sensitive kid. And so he interpreted it a particular way. But he didn't ask. He didn't engage. At least the first time in particular, he didn't. And it became this thing. It just festered. And he wrote a whole story about it in his head. And then that impacted how he was showing up with them. And it created this whole thing. I had eventually had to talk to one of the teachers at the school about this, who then talked to this kid's mom. And the kid's mom talked to the kid. And the kid was like, oh no, like that's not at all what I meant. And then he just apologized and it was over. Whole thing was just a big drama cycle created by, okay, that hurt my feelings, but rather than just asking. And so the beauty of it was, I guess, that the story, the reason this came to mind is the second time this happened, I wouldn't say he handled it perfectly, but he handled it a lot better in that after he kind of reacted to it and got a little emotionally tangled up after that had happened or whatever, he actually went back to his two of his friends and said, basically told them how he felt about what had happened. And they were like, whoa, no, sorry. Like, that's not what we, and it was over. And so the second time he actually engaged, got it out on the table, and it was done immediately. And so, so really simple, but profoundly powerful advice for all humans, I think. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And, you know, I have to say that's something that you learn and isn't necessarily taught as you're growing up. For better or for worse, my upbringing was we don't create arguments. We don't. It's a peaceful environment in my family, which that was great. I had a very peaceful upbringing. But the thing that I learned from that is don't rock the boat. And so it took me a while to be comfortable with bringing up those true feelings about something instead of saying, oh, it's all right, don't worry about it. And in my head saying, I'm sure they didn't mean it that way. I'm still upset with them, but I'm not going to say anything because that's going to rock the boat. And I would guess that some of those relationships I talked about in the past that I wish I had a better relationship with could be better had I known that skill back then.
Well, listen, I think that if we were teaching this skill to children or teaching kids in school how to do this, we would have a fraction of the road rage we have, right? Mm-hmm. We would have a fraction because so much of what happens is something happens to us, some other human happens to us, and then rather than like, hey, what's going on here, having the tools to engage or get clarity or learning how to let it go, we spin it into a story. And those stories are usually not very good when it comes to the other person. They're not very flattering of the other person. And then we get that fuels our anger. And then we are, you know, we show up with them then in a way that is angry or defensive or hostile. And then they respond in kind to how we showed up. And then that reinforces the stupid story we wrote. You know, it's skills. I know that it took me a long time to learn that. So I'm excited that my 14-year-old's bumping into it and that he was at least willing to talk to us about it so that we could try to give him some tools to start dealing with it. Cause it is something that the earlier you learn, I think the better.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it applies outside of relationships and conversations too, just like in your daily experiences. I was just listening to someone talking about what seems to be obvious. If you're going into the grocery store and you're just like already primed to have a miserable experience, well, start by going in there and with the positive attitude instead of the negative one, and likely you're going to have a better experience. You're going to, you know, the person that's frustrated coming down the aisle is not going to bother you if you're realizing that, hey, maybe someone else had a tough day and it's not about you. They're not coming after you. Just starting with the positive instead of making those assumptions. We talk about that at our office a lot, you know, assume positive intent, lead with curiosity. Those are phrases that we use all the time here. And it's interesting how often we kind of forget to do that in our individual lives when we're preaching it to others. But
yeah, I am a big believer and practicer of assume positive intent. And I think the other side of that, which is a hard pill to swallow, and it's a hard thing to really internalize for people too, is that the way someone reacts to you is almost never is about you.
Right.
And that is so hard, right, in human relationships. And so it seems to me like you have really learned to practice or master that with Julie. And so that's a great lesson. And we'll come back to that because I do want to talk. We already kind of jumped ahead to what that looks like maybe in the office, but we'll come back and talk a little more practically about that here in just a minute. Mm-hmm.
This webcast is sponsored by my longtime friends at Inspiring Workplaces. Now, if you are someone who's working to create an engaging and inspiring workplace for your employees, and of course you are, that's why you're here, then listen up. Inspiring Workplaces is a global community of tens of thousands of HR and employee experience professionals that you can join for free. As a member, you will gain access to thousands of articles and videos and podcasts and events that will help you change the world by changing the world of work. They are also home to the Inspiring Workplaces Awards that recognize the best workplaces in the world. You can learn about the application process at their website. So please go visit inspiring-workplaces.com to learn more and to join the community. That's inspiring-workplaces.com.
But I want to also make sure we have time to talk about the work relationship I asked you to think about, sort of a relationship that was formed through work that's had a real significant positive impact on you or your career. And so who are we going to talk about for this one?
Well, I appreciated the heads up on the homework. And I thought about a number of people. I've been in the same place for almost 27 years. So there's a lot of people that have impacted me here. And I could take any one of them and talk about it. And it was a little bit of a surprise to me who I landed on in terms of that. And it's Greg Ewan, our now chairman of the board. At the time that I joined, he was the president of the company. And so I've worked with him almost my entire career here. And I started on the architecture side of things, and then I've shifted into human resources about midway through my career. And my relationship with Greg has been different in each of those roles as I was, you know, just entering the firm, and he's the president. So there's this huge gap in terms of how much we're going to spend time together, to the point where I was sitting across the hall from him in my current role in human resources. We had different relationships with the progression of my career here. And from the very beginning, I tried to look for some consistencies. And one of the things that I found was that he really impacted how I approached my conversations with others when I'm trying to help with a conflict, or I'm trying to help with someone's personal issue that they're dealing with, whether it's internal or external. And that was, how is this affecting the individual or the employee, whether it was decisions about, you know, tough decisions when we had to reduce staff during the recession or COVID. The first place that Greg always went was, how is this decision going to affect that one person? And sometimes you had the ability to affect how that decision got made. Sometimes you didn't, but at least taking the time to step back and think about how that decision was impacting an individual's life. And how can you set it up for the best possible outcome, at least as much as you can. And Greg and I didn't always see eye to eye in terms of how he approached things in the company, or decisions that I wanted to make in human resources that would affect employees. But he always thought about the employees first, and I really appreciated and respected that. And also learned that I'm not always going to be able to take the path that I'd like to take, and there are ways that you can affect positive change without going directly down the path that you thought that you were going to go down. So he's still around and isn't in the office anymore, but we have a very good relationship, and he built a trust in what I could provide to the employees, and I trusted that even if I didn't necessarily understand or agree with what he was doing, I knew that he was doing it with the best intentions and thinking about the employee first, even over the business. That was a relationship that I didn't realize was impacting me quite as much as I did until so he gave me the assignment. So I appreciate it. And it made me think I need to reach out to him and tell him about that impact too. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. And that's always so rewarding. Great practice that I would encourage to anybody is reaching back and saying thank you to the people that have had impact and why, because that has such profound impact on it. It's so impactful for you, but it's also such a gift to the other person too. Often I know I've been through that a couple of times, and it's such an awesome experience.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more about what you if you think about the relationship itself, and maybe sort of how, as a leader in the organization, as the leader in the organization, kind of how he maybe approached or fostered that relationship with you. What would you say you learned from that relationship or your experience there that you've been able to apply to others or in your relationships with others, or maybe even the people that you lead? Just curious what you've garnered from your experience with him.
Mm-hmm. I think it goes back to some of the same things I talked about with Julie. It's the honesty from the very beginning when he hired me. He looked across the desk at me and said, "I know you a little bit from our interviews. I like you, but I don't really know you. I'm taking a leap of faith here, and I know you are too. But there are things that you're going to need to do here, and you'll have to kind of prove yourself too." So just knowing that up front, that it wasn't just this magic hire that was happening. There are leaps of faith happening in both sides. And I've used that phrase many times. Just being honest, like I know a certain amount about whatever situation it is that I'm working with, but not everything. And so I'll need to learn more. I think also just that example that I was talking about before, in terms of thinking about how decisions and actions affect others. I've found myself asking, maybe it's a manager of a team of people making a decision with something. I found myself asking similar questions, like, how is this gonna impact this person on the team if you put this other person in this new position? Have you thought about talking to them first and letting them know why you're making this decision? So I think it, whether I'm directly attributing it to Greg or not, I think those were some of the things that I learned through observation and repetition, that you have to think about all the pieces of situations that are going on, not just your first gut reaction on things. But.
Sure. Well, let's now take some of these learnings and insights that you've shared and talk about what that might look like at work, or what it does look like at work. And I guess I want to start with this practice of don't sit on frustrations, right? Don't You know, we did talk a little bit about that, but if we think about the work relationship and we think about kind of the day-to-day that employees have, like, how do we bring that lesson forward? Because I do think that's a, I've said oftentimes that I think the, you know, employee engagement dies the death of like a million paper cuts,
mm-hmm.
right? It's little things happen that are sort of these little injustices or these little things, and we don't have a mechanism to vet them. And the relationship just, all these little resentments build up to big resentments over time. And so what does it look like to create a mechanism or invite people to bring those frustrations forward and not sit on those things when they happen? How do you do that?
I think about, there's a practice that we've kind of put in place, I'm going to say more than 10 years ago now. And it, I think most of our leaders are pretty well practiced in it. But when someone comes to me with a conflict, maybe it's an employee that's coming to me for the first time, and you know, I'm frustrated with Joe because they, you know, they're always humming under their breath while they're working on a project, something like that. And my first response, maybe 15 years ago, would be, okay, I'll talk to them. I'll find a way to talk to them. But my first response now, and I think a lot of our leaders now have learned it too, like, have you talked to Joe about it? Have you mentioned it to him? Have you said, hey, Joe, it's kind of distracting that you're humming under your breath. Is there anything that you could do to kind of do less of that? Or whatever. I'm picking a very, you know, off the wall example of that. But I think the practice of turning it back to the person that's trying to seek help from me or from other leaders, helping them, coaching them on how they might be able to approach that themselves, and learning to have those uncomfortable conversations with some guidance on it. That's what I typically try to do, is offer coaching on that. Like, if you don't want to just talk to them about it, I'm happy to be part of it, or to reach out anonymously and say, hey, I've had a couple people tell me that you're humming under your breath all the time. I'm happy to do that if that's what it takes. But we start by having people try to have that honest conversation. And I think it results in a reciprocity in that too. And we're in an open environment here in our office too. So you have to be able to talk to people around you. You're not closed off in your office all the time. And I think that's been a really consistent message, and I'll get that when I go to talk to my president now too. Like, I'm having this struggle today, and she'll turn around and say, well, have you had a conversation with them about it? So I'm looking for that kind of stuff too. But I'd say that's probably the easiest way to make it a part of the environment and part of the culture, is to just consistently sort of help make that happen.
Sure. It's setting the expectation that you'll have that conversation. And it sounds to me like you're also in that moment, I think this is a common mistake. You said sort of the way you'd handle it early in your career, I think, is often how a lot of managers think it's their job, or in HR leaders too. Mm-hmm. It's like, if someone comes with a complaint, my job is to fix it, solve it. It's like, right. No, your job is to help them become more effective, right? And so coach versus solve. Coaching that individual, set the expectation. It sounds like you're doing some coaching too, because right. A lot of times people are like, well, how would I even talk to them? It's like, okay, well, let's safe space. Let's sketch that out, right? Let's see what that might sound like. What do you think it would sound like? And then pretty soon they feel like, oh, okay, didn't know. Back to what we were talking about with my son. Until you're in the situation and somebody helps you think about what you might do in that situation, you know, you don't know. And so you just let it fester. So that's a really good suggestion. Set the expectation. If you have those issues, talk about it. Usually somebody's like, gosh, I was a whistler. I used to whistle all the time walking around the office. And Some people loved it. My team loved it because I could never sneak up on them. They knew I was coming. But there's a lot of people that drove completely crazy. So
I think related to that, you're making me think of another step in that too, in terms of the coaching, and that's that leading with curiosity piece. Mm-hmm. We learned that as a leadership team, we learned that probably 15 years ago, that phrase, and that's stuck with us for years too. So the have you talked to them piece is an important part about it, but also just saying, can you help me understand, you know, maybe this is something that you need to do to stay focused, and you don't realize you're doing it, but help, you know, help me understand, you know, why that happened. If it's a more challenging situation, like here's what I observed and this is what's challenging me, but you know, help me understand if I'm observing it correctly, or if there's something that I missed. So giving them the chance to explain it from their point of view.
It's funny. That's exactly what we came up with for, as my son and I were sort of replaying the first event that happened to him. This kid sort of made a joke, at his expense, and he took it like seriously. And I said, okay, so what could have happened? And he's like, well, you know, we talked to him and he's like, well, he could have just said like, hey, that kind of hurt. Like, what did you mean? Like, can you tell me what you meant when you said that? And then they probably would have said, well, I was just joking. I was just giving you a hard time. And he would have been like, oh, and then it's over. So he's like, that's lead with curiosity. Like, ask mm-hmm. the question, what did you mean when you said that? Or, you know, when you said this in the meeting, what did you mean? Because I took that kind of maybe the wrong way. I just want to make sure I understood what you meant. Like I said, 90% of the time, it's not what you thought it meant. Or if it is, it is, right? At least then you can talk about that. So,
or it may have been coming from a completely different place. Like I was just trying to deflect something that was coming at me.
That's right. That's right. Playing defense.
Yeah.
Always remember, when in doubt, assume it is not about you, right? That is a really good takeaway. So I would be remiss if we left this conversation and didn't touch on this other piece of advice that you raised, which was be honest. Because I think while that seems on the surface like an incredibly simple, straightforward thing to do, I think in the workplace that's a lot more complicated than it sounds. Mm-hmm. And I'm only gonna say I say that just as, I mean, you and I both, you still are living in the HR seat. I spent 9 years of my life in the HR seat. A lot of what we do in HR scares the bejesus out of managers. They're worried about what they say. They're worried about what they should say or what they can say to people. And so when you say, just be honest, I think they hear like, yeah, that's not really what you mean. And so I'm curious when you think about that in the work relationship, what does that look like when if you're coaching a manager about how to be honest with their people? What do you mean when you say that specifically?
Yeah, that's a really good point, because unless you're comfortable with that, you're gonna be floating all around the statement that you really want to say. And so I'm trying to think of how I might phrase it. Usually being honest is tough when it's a challenging situation. If you're celebrating someone, being honest is easy. So focusing on that, usually what I try and share is to look for a way to tell them something in a way that's irrefutable. Like it's not just an opinion, it's an observation. This is what I've seen. And I would have expected to see this, or you know, our expectations are that you would handle a situation like that in a more respectful way, or something like that. So I'm sharing this with you because it would be unfair of me not to point it out. So I'll use those words sometimes as a coaching tool for the managers. Like, share with them that you're telling them this because you want them to be aware of it, because maybe they're not. And if I didn't say something about it, it might bubble up in that other person's brain and become something more than it should be. And so I'm bringing this up now because if it just festers, then either I'm going to start making up stuff about it or the other person's going to make up stuff about it. And then you can ask that help me understand question to, you know, am I seeing that right? Am I interpreting that right? And then you're putting yourself out there as someone that's on their side that they can trust because you're telling them something that is meant to help them. And doesn't that, that's still easier to say than do. But that's kind of the approach that I usually suggest. And I have to think about myself too.
If it was easy, we'd all learn it right away. And then, you know, life would get pretty boring. So it's a constant struggle, I think, for all of us, especially the hard ones are the hard ones. So that was a great example. Well, Bob, thank you so much for sharing, letting us peek into your marriage, which is a really vulnerable and a beautiful thing to allow of us, and sharing your learnings from your time with Greg. I really appreciate you making the time to go on this journey with me and sharing some of the wisdom you've gleaned along the way.
Yeah, well, I've gleaned some from you too, Jason. So it's a pleasure.
We'll see you soon.
Hope you enjoyed today's episode. More importantly, I hope you learned something from the episode that can help you right away. Now, if you'd like to reflect on what you can learn from your own healthy, positive relationships to make work better, I've included a link in the description below where you can access and download what I call the relationship reflection exercise. This includes the same questions that I ask each of my guests to reflect on prior to our conversation on the webcast. Also, if you found today's episode valuable, I'd ask three quick favors of you. Number one, please like the episode. By liking the video and adding a comment if something spoke to you or stood out to you as really significant, you give me some great and valuable feedback, but you also help others find the video. I'd also ask you to subscribe to the channel. That does two important things. One, it makes sure that you won't miss any upcoming episodes, and it sends me the message that you like the kind of content that I'm creating here. And finally, please share this video with someone who you think might benefit. What better gift can you give someone than the gift of better relationships and a better work experience? I'm really grateful that you were here today, and I look forward to seeing you next time.